Common Enemy, that's an early one, 5:30 p.m. at the Crocodile Rock Cafe. And Andrew W.K., doors at 6 p.m. at the Crazy Donkey in Farmingdale. And finally, at Sullivan Hall at 7:30, have a big one here, Topaz's Holiday Jam, featuring Topaz, with special guests, the Mike Montre Band, the New Arcane, Up the Chain, John Record, and the 45s. You're tuned to WSB Stony Brook 90.1 FM. Anybody in the local music scene who'd like to be on here, give us a shout-out. scene@wusb.fm. Stay radio free.
Yeah, okay. Well, definitely keep your radio full, though. Don't be completely free of your radio. Listen to the radio here at WUSB Stony Brook. It's 3 minutes after 6 o'clock. Time for Off the Wall. Very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening. And this is the last live-action show of 2009. What that means is that next week, it'll be a pre-recorded show. In fact, the week after that, and the week after that, yeah, the next 3 weeks are going to be pre-recorded. But that doesn't mean they're going to be any less fun. In fact, they might even be more fun. In fact, I think they will be more fun. I've heard just about all the material that will be aired in the next 3 weeks, and I think you can get a big kick out of it. I really do. So tune in for the next 3 weeks. What that means, though, is that we can't take phone calls during those 3 weeks. Last 2 weeks of December, the first week of January, can't take phone calls. And and just to make things even more fun, the first two shows that we come back for more live action, we'll have basketball games at the 45-minute mark. And since there's always a conflict with the studios as far as taking phone calls and having a basketball game coming up, we used to be able to handle things like this. We can't anymore. That means we won't be able to take phone calls then either. So the next time we're going to be able to take phone calls won't be until the fourth week of January. Yeah. I'm as perplexed by that as anyone else. So what that means is that tonight is the night, if you want to call in later on in the program and spout your rhetoric or voice your opinion or release secret information, whatever it is you want to do. Tonight's the night. And if you know somebody who maybe already has gone to sleep, thinking that they're going to be able to say what they want to say in weeks to come, you might want to wake them up and tell them, no, that's not the case. Funny things happen at the end of the year, you know, it's just the way it is around here. And I'd like to hear what people have been up to, what you've been doing. I know what I've been doing. Oh, boy. This is simply unreal, what I've been going through in the last, it's been more than a week, actually. It's been about, 10 days this took me. Yeah, I've been involved in this extensive purging operation. Feels good to purge. It really does. And I don't mean in the disgusting way, although that does feel good, too. No, I mean, as far as you go through life, I have a feeling I'm going to be saying this more and more in the years ahead, but yeah, as you go through life, people, you're going to find that you accumulate things. You accumulate, well, perhaps wisdom, maybe experience, but with certainty, you will accumulate a lot of crap. a whole lot of crap. I mean, I'm not what you would call a pack rat, at least not anymore. I've become more of a Stalin, I guess, as far as collecting things. Just basically send everything into the cornfield and just only hold on to that which is absolutely essential. Everything else can just go to hell. And that's how I've been living fairly recently, the last few years. But before that, I really collected a lot of things. And, you know, I'm a bit of an archivist, so I like to save things that are historic. And that's one of the reasons why I have so many recordings, both of radio shows and of childhood, which I've recently gone through and found all kinds of interesting things. But there are all kinds of other things that get collected along the way. Every single letter, every single postcard, every single greeting card. And they collect in many, many different places. For instance, when I was a child, I had this giant toy chest. You know, it was big enough for, I guess, a child to actually put himself into, which I never did, but that's about the size that it would be. Instead, I basically put everything that I ever got in that toy chest. I don't know what happened to it. I think that got purged years ago. What I've been involved in the last couple of weeks is the desk operation. And I tell people, yeah, I've been cleaning out my desk for the last 10 days. Everyone thinks I'm quitting. You know, I'm self-employed. How would I clean out my own desk? Who would I say that to? But it's fun to say, yeah, I'm cleaning out my desk. See what kind of reaction you get. Well, Emmanuel, it's a long time coming. We all saw it. Yeah, okay, fine. Basically, I figured this might take a day, maybe two tops. I've had this desk. The desk actually entered my life very, very early. Maybe I was six or something. When I came home from school one day and there was this brand new desk in my room that my mother had gotten, everybody was very proud of the desk. People would come to visit the desk. There were pictures taken of the desk. The desk basically became a part of the family. People would ask how you were. They'd ask how the desk was. The desk was a part of every holiday. The desk was a part of every family gathering. The desk was taken to family gatherings. It was ridiculous how much we worshiped this damn desk. But this desk has stayed with me all throughout my life. And it's you know, it's not an amazing... Well, it is an amazing desk, but it's not the kind of desk that has secret compartments and all kinds of crazy things going on inside. It's a basic desk. You know, it's got two big drawers on the left and two on the right and three kind of narrow ones going across the top. And then, of course, it has the actual desktop before that word had any real meaning. And in all my many moves throughout various regions, that desk has come with me. And not always have I gone through the drawers to find out what should be kept and not kept when I was making these moves. Basically, the desk just came along. And for the last, I'd say, 15 years, I've just been piling things on top of that desk. You know, if I had something that I knew I wanted to save, I just would throw it on top of the desk. Sometimes I try to cram it into one of the drawers that was not completely overflowing with material. And so basically what I wound up with a couple of weeks ago was this towering, not quite an inferno, not yet, but a towering menace to anybody that walked by this thing, of papers and posters and all kinds of weird things that I just kind of forgot about. And so, I would spend... First of all, I'd have to take an allergy pill even to get near the thing because of the dust that accumulates. And I'm allergic to dust, so I had to take various medication just to be able to get near the thing and get through a day. And a day would consist of simply tackling a portion of this desk and seeing what was in it. Finding letters from people that I'd long since forgotten about. Or pictures that had been taken on some long-forgotten trip. Material from the radio station. Material from 2600. Court papers. Leases. Stones. I'm not kidding. I collected stones. There were stones in my desk. Racing cars. Little tiny racing cars. Plastic airplanes. Pencils. Why in God's name does anybody collect pencils? Magnifying glasses, little compasses, one of those calendars that you flip over and the number of the day changes, and you can do it forever. Lamps, candles, hammers, tools of all sorts. It was incredible. It was incredible because every day I'd have to go through and decide, okay, what's going to be thrown out? What's going to be kept? And of what's being kept, where is it going to be kept? How am I going to designate this? Everything had to be categorized in a particular way. The garbage was easy because, this is something I don't care if I ever see again. And that made it into a trash bag. Didn't have to sort that. That was done. But here's the amazing thing. I filled... six, count them, six trash bags. I mean the big kind, too, the kind you collect leaves in. They were full, they were heavy. Six trash bags from one desk. And the amazing thing is, the desk is still full. The inside of the desk is still full. There's every single drawer it has something in it, and it's up to the top. I don't understand how that's even possible, but that is how it is. And in the end, I was able to categorize various things. These are particular types of correspondences, and these are this historic relic. But it took 10 days. 10 days. And, not just an hour or two per day. I'm talking full working days. And that's just the desk. That's just the desk. I have closets. I have garages. I've got basements. It's a sickness collecting things. There are some things that are worth collecting. And I'd like to know from people, if you want to call in or if you want to write to us, otw@2600.com, how do you deal with collecting things? I mean, I've seen many other people have it far worse than me, where they collect newspapers and they stack them up to the ceiling. Here's something. Unless you are on the front page of the newspaper, there is absolutely no reason in the world to save it. And it's funny because I actually was on the front page of the Village Voice once, and I just found those papers, which were stacked behind a couch someplace. And I wonder, what's the point of saving that? They're turning yellow. Yeah, it's my face on there. Great. It's something to point at, but it really doesn't look very good. The quality of the newspaper, that is, not the actual picture. But that looked all right. But the thing is, there are so many things that we imagine one day will be important to us. Can't throw this out. That's the ticket to Star Wars when it first came out. Actually, I should have saved that. Probably could have sold that someplace. Or, Garbage Pail Kid cards and baseball cards from the past. And all kinds of weird things that you think one day will be important, but never really are. And then there are the things that do turn out to be important that you really should hold on to. You know, pictures. Letters from people who really matter to you. I don't mean just a card saying Merry Christmas or whatever, and that's it. You know, that's okay, great. Unless it's a really good card, that's serving no purpose. Unless you want evidence that somebody once talked to you. But letters. Letters can be insightful. Not that I'm going to sit down and read all these letters, but maybe someday, yeah, I'm doing it again, aren't I? I'm doing it again. Someday I'm going to look, I'm never going to look at the letters. I won't look at the letters. I know I'm not going to. But I don't want to throw them out. You know, this is the balance that I've been swaying over the last few weeks. What do I throw out? What do I keep? You know, all the radio shows, yes, those you keep because those are interesting. Those are relevant. Those involve other people. I have a massive videotape collection, which I started back in the 80s. And of all the things that I've collected, that's one that probably is lower on the chain. But it is fascinating to watch television from the 1980s and look at commercials and look at newscasts and look at how things have changed. And I find that all the people that said that's a real waste of time to be collecting this are the ones most fascinated when I throw it into a VCR, if I can even find a VCR. Right now, actually, I'm involved in a massive archiving project involving those, where we have four VCRs going at once, and we're collecting and digitizing video from 6 8-hour videotapes. And we're talking a couple of thousand of them. Yeah, I recorded a lot. I have a collection that rivals the Museum of Broadcasting. So it is all being saved. But the problem I'm running into is quality of VCRs that you can find today. Because some of these tapes are, you know, they're kind of old, and it's mostly the audio that just sounds awful. And I can't find decent VCRs that will play the audio well. It all sounds really muddy and hissy and things like that. And then I have this one really good VCR that I'm playing it on, and the sound is great, but the picture keeps rolling. You can't win. So, you know, I could spend the next few years of my life dealing with that, or I can just not worry about that so much. That's a whole other different dilemma that I find myself in. The old stuff, the old papers and cards and pictures and things like that, that's something you have to one day decide, what am I going to do with this? Where am I going to put all of this? Old copies of Statesman, the campus newspaper here, you just throw those out. You find out, by the way, that so many people throw these things out that you might actually have one of the few copies ever made. How would you feel knowing you threw out a piece of history that nobody else had? Anyway, so the desk is done. Don't have to worry about that anymore. Just recovering from that. A bit of purging is done. But there's more to come. More to come, and who knows what else I'll find. I can't say I really found anything all that fascinating. Some interesting letters from people. Some memories that were stoked that maybe I didn't want to think about. Nice pictures, you know, some cool little toys. But, yeah, I don't know if it was worth the 10 days. It's nice to have that space back. It's nice not to have to look at that and think, oh, my God, one day I have to deal with that, so that's over. But, wow, 6 garbage bags. The other thing memorable that I did in the last couple of weeks was visit my good friends over at the Department of Motor Vehicles. Now, this is what happens. Sometimes you have to renew licenses and things like that, and sometimes you have to actually go down and visit them in person. And I figured, you know, I was going to go to the local one, but I did this on a Friday, and for some reason the local one is closed on Friday. They look up, there's a chart, an astronomical chart, where they say, how will Emmanuel be inconvenienced the most? If we close this branch on a Friday, the day when he's most likely to come by, that will serve us just fine. So, fine. I had to go someplace else. I didn't want to go to Hop Hog, which is a nightmare. State bureaucracy haven. So I picked one in Nassau County, and I asked Google Maps to help get me there. And literally, streets were made up in the direction. I was driving down certain roads looking to make right turns on the street that I was told to make a right turn on. It did not exist. I asked people, where is this road? There's no such road. Incredible. Finally, I asked, okay, where's the motor vehicle department? I wound up in a different one. I wound up in a motor vehicle department that was not listed on the motor vehicle department's site. I don't know how that's possible. Couldn't find the one that was on the site. It existed down some non-existent roads, apparently, according to Google. And wound up in a motor vehicle department in a shopping center that was not listed. And the amazing thing is that you can stick these things any place. You can stick them in a shopping center. You can stick them in the middle of the ocean, and you're still going to have the same attitude inside. And that's one of contempt. Contempt of the people that you're supposed to be helping. You know, I try to be nice. I try to be friendly. Try to put a big smile on my face. And, you know, I'm humbled. Asking questions. And getting these rather sharp responses. As if I should know the answer already. Well, where do I go to renew a license? You don't know that? You don't know how to do it? And I also want to change my address. Well, you want to change your address and you want to renew your license at the same time? No one's ever done that before. Meanwhile, while you're sitting there waiting for your number to be called, you get to watch all these little dramas play out. Somebody who forgot a vital piece of paperwork who's being dealt with as if they're carrying the plague. People being yelled at for walking in front of a camera they cannot see. Picture this. Where you get your picture taken for your license is right in the middle of where people have to queue up to do whatever it is they have to do. And to them, they're simply walking from one side of the room to the other. There's no way they can know there's a camera there. But basically, the camera is where the clerk is, and the person's supposed to stand in front of this little makeshift wall. But to somebody who doesn't look at that and figure it all out, it's just basically you're walking from one part of the room to the other. Now, this clerk would get really, really upset every time somebody walked in front of the camera. She'd say, "Don't walk in front of the camera," like that. And the person would be, "Oh, sorry." But then again, you know, where are they supposed to go? How are they supposed to get from one side to the other? They'd have to walk all the way to the back of the room. Not really making a whole lot of sense. Then another person would do the same thing. The clerk would treat them as if they were the same person. "I said, don't walk in front of the camera." Well, you never said it to that person. This is a whole brand new entity. Making the mistake for the first time. Probably the last time, because why would you make the same mistake twice when you're going from point A to point B? Unless you want to relive the whole magical experience. And this clerk is just getting more and more upset at what she perceives to be the same person making the same mistake over and over again. And then you had this other clerk who was behind some kind of poster. I think it was a poster or just a stand. I don't know how they set these things up. But basically, you're waiting on this long line. You have window number one, window number two, window number three. But there's a big poster in front of window number three. So you have to walk around the poster to get to the clerk. Actually, you know what it was? There was another camera there. That's right. There was another camera, and that poster was basically forming the wall. So you'd walk around, and then you'd be standing in front of a wall so you could have your picture taken in front of number three. But here's the thing. You didn't know there was a number three. You would just hear this voice saying, "Next!" And he didn't know where the voice was coming from. And then that voice would get angry because she'd already said "next" and nobody responded. So she'd say "next" even louder and start treating people like they're real idiots. It reminded me of that scene from the PJs, you know, where they would go down to the housing urban development office and you couldn't even see the person behind the glass. It was all completely distorted. You just hear a voice coming through. It was like that. You just would hear this voice and you'd be expected to jump to attention. So, yeah, the motor vehicle department has not changed. I try to avoid that whenever possible. You know, the other thing, you have to fill out forms. I never carry a pen. I always have bad experiences with pens. Either I lose them or they explode in my pocket. Maybe that's why I collected pencils in the desk, but I wouldn't bring those either. Besides, you have to fill things out in pen anyway, so they're useless. So I figured, you know, going into this place, I'd be able to fill out the forms with a pen that's, you know, chained to the desk or whatever, or maybe they'll just simply have pens lying around. Well, they had the chains, but there were no pens at the end of the chains, so apparently somebody had ripped all the pens off the chains, or maybe they just installed the chains but no pens. And so I'm looking around for a pen anywhere lying around that I could use to fill this out, because I'm not going to go back to the clerk and ask her for a pen. I know what's going to happen if I do that. And then, in the back of the room, I see all of these pens for sale. They have a pen machine. They have a pen machine. Now, would you keep a pen on a chain if you had a pen machine to make a profit from? Of course not. So that was the answer as to what happened to all the pens. Now the motor vehicle department sells you pens. It's great. So of course I borrowed one from somebody instead. That was much nicer. It's been rough. It's been rough. It's going to be good to get away and not have to worry about this. And that's what I'm going to do. Wind up at the CCC Congress over in Berlin at the end of the year. I'm sure we'll have some audio from there. We're going to have some audio from Hacking at Random for the couple of the shows where I'm not around. So be sure to tune into that. That was an amazing experience, which took place this summer. All kinds of other fun little surprises will be happening in the next couple of weeks. All right, what's going on in the news? We have not looked at what's happening. Oh, I heard the bulletin. Actually, I heard it on the way in. No doubt everybody else knows about this already, but it's unconfirmed. I think I should make that clear to people so that there's no panic. It has not yet been confirmed. It was just a third-party report that Tiger Woods' wife was seen walking around without her wedding ring. I know, it's shocking. It's our worst fears come to fruition, if true. I cannot believe that story. We talked about this. Was it last week? Were we talking about this? Was it only a week ago? Or was it 2 weeks ago? I don't know. It's been in the news far too long. It all started. All started on Thanksgiving, where Tiger Woods backed his car out of his driveway and hit a tree or something like that. And it's been escalating ever since. Now it turns out, not only was he having an affair with somebody, he's having an affair with everybody. All these people he's having an affair with. Can we just agree that people are imperfect? That people make mistakes? That people do things that sometimes might seem like a good idea at the time, but turn out to be a bad idea? And self-defeating. Because if you look around, you look at all the people, all the politicians, all the businessmen, all the celebrities, they all seem to go down the same road, where everyone looks up to them and then they wind up doing something, whether it's taking steroids or some other drug or having affairs, being unfaithful to their spouses. They all seem to have these same failings. And unless someone is truly evil, and you could say, yeah, cheating on your wife, that's evil. It's not the same kind of evil as, say, murdering your wife or doing something really awful. Something that human beings, as a tendency, are encouraged not to do by society. But simply having moral dilemmas. You know, they're saying he really needs to take some time off from golf. This will be good for him. You know, to me, it seems like that's exactly what he should be doing right now, is playing golf. Because if he's playing golf, then he's not, making these other errors in judgment. Golf wasn't the problem. Actually, you know what? I take that back. None of it was the problem, because none of it is our business. It's only an issue between him and his family, period. Let them deal with it. It's none of our concern. It's not the sponsor's concern. It's not the fans' concern. It's not the media's concern, the sports commentators, any of those people should just butt out, and let people live their lives, because everybody is imperfect. Everybody's going to do something that we frown upon as a culture, as a society. And whether you're a priest or a on TV gospel choir person or a politician or whatever, you have the same failings. You make the same mistakes. Happens all the time. So let's just get over this moral high ground we all like to sit on, and let the people involved deal with whatever problems come up, and let other people just do what they do, whether that's playing golf, endorsing products, or representing various regions of the country. The story will not go away, will it? And then, of course, you got the whole Silvio Berlusconi thing. Did you see that? Oh my God, that was something. The Prime Minister of Italy, controversial, 73 years old, right wing, attacked by some maniac with a statue. Broke his nose, broke his teeth. I saw this on Sunday. I was completely shocked, blown away by this, that somebody would do such a thing, that there would be such a gaping hole in security, too, that would allow such a thing to happen in the first place. But the thing that really gets me is some of the reaction I'm seeing to this. I mean, don't get me wrong. I dislike the guy. Well, I dislike the guy's policy, his stance, his way of doing things. As a person himself, though, you know, I kind of admire the spirit. I admire the fact this guy's 73 years old and he's still able to, to get into sex scandals in the first place. I mean, that takes a bit of doing. But this guy obviously believes in what he says. He puts a lot of energy and a lot of work into what he does. And just because I disagree with him does not mean I wish him physical harm. But what I'm seeing from so many people, way too many people, is kind of a gloating over this, saying, well, you brought it on yourself with the things you said. Yeah, you know, I don't buy that. I don't buy somebody saying something that we don't agree with, and something that might cause other people some dismay and be insensitive. There's no excuse for smashing somebody in the face with a statue. I see people joining Facebook groups that are fans of Berlusconi being attacked. There's video games coming out. There's people buying the actual statues that were used. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy the way people are reacting to this. Now, should it be illegal? Of course not. But it should be studied. We should figure out why people are so desensitized to violence that they would actually find something humorous in this. I'll tell you right now, if I see anybody that is joining a Facebook group gloating over this and celebrating Berlusconi being attacked, I'm going to defriend you. Oh, yes, I will. It's so simplistic that you have to agree with people in order to show them any kind of respect. That's what we've turned into. And then we're surprised when the people we do agree with aren't respected by others. You know, someone's got to break this chain. Now, for instance, Lieberman, oh, God. This is somebody that that has caused no end of problems. In fact, the headline reads, Lieberman, a major problem for Senate Democrats on health care. Because he's basically flip-flopping. I saw this video. I was told this was made 3 months ago, where Senator Joseph Lieberman, independent from Connecticut, but as we've been saying here for years, more of a Republican than anything, he has come out against the health care plan that's being debated right now by the Senate, and said that he's strongly against expanding Medicare to cover people 55 and over. 3 months ago, there's a videotape that came out where he was saying what a good idea that was. You know, I think this guy is just around to completely screw up the Democrats and make them very, very frustrated. Sure seems that way. But regardless, I would not be happy if somebody smashed a statue on his head either. It's not now a pie is one thing, okay? I've long been a proponent of pieing politicians. A pie in Berlusconi's face, fine, no problem there. A pie in Lieberman's face, he has it coming. We used to pie people all the time. Here at Stony Brook, people would pie each other. Well, they'd pie the important people anyway. The president of Stony Brook was pied on the bridge, a mere few feet away from here. It's a way of expressing yourself that's not physically harmful. Anyway, so the whole healthcare thing, it's still in chaos. You know, it's incredible to me that they have the 60-40 majority. But it's not the majority they need. They need to be able to have that enough of a majority so that the Republicans won't filibuster. So it's not enough. It's not enough to have 55-45, because they know if they don't have at least 60, Republicans are just going to derail everything because they can, even though they're a minority. I just find that incredible that being the majority is not enough anymore, as long as you have some loudmouths that are willing to just throw a monkey wrench into everything. It's really pretty sad. Okay, we're going to take phone calls in a couple of minutes, 631-632-9872. In fact, let's do the whole delay thing now, get that over with, because that's always a real pain. And again, the phone number is 631-632-9872. We're going to hear this little message, and then we're going to come back.
This is Timo Burnett saying don't believe anything that you hear, except for the wild truth on WUSB.
That goes smoothly. Again, our phone number, 631-632-9872. I forgot to turn up the volume, so you heard me just start in the middle of a sentence. Yes, I was saying, didn't this go smoothly? Of course, it didn't go smoothly. I was wrong. Yeah, if you have any thoughts on anything that's going on in the world, please give us a call. Let's look at some listener mail, because we have a whole lot of that, as we always do. Dear Emmanuel, I listened to your show, heard your many observations on North Korea, yet you failed to make any mention of North Korea devaluing its currency 100 to 1. You did have time to mention North Korean soccer, ergo figure, but you failed to touch on North Korea basically giving the shaft to the everyman. From what I understand, those in the merchant class will be relatively untouched as they have moved their money into foreign currencies. Can you imagine having your life savings of $1,000 turned into $10? I'm curious if your omission was intentional, as I know you have traveled there, and was wondering if you wanted to keep under the radar so you are allowed to return. Signed, John. Well, John, you know, first of all, we were talking about the World Cup, which is why we mentioned North Korea and how they wound up getting the royal shaft in the group they wound up in. As far as I heard about the story about the devaluing, but, you know, I don't think there are very many North Koreans that have bank accounts or that are saving lots and lots of money. It's a communist regime. You know, people don't tend to do that. It's a very strict regime. They don't take kindly to people having large piles of cash in their mattresses. And, no, I'm not hedging my opinions because I want to go back or anything like that. I'm just saying this is an interesting story, but this kind of thing happens around the world. You know, look at Zimbabwe. What's happened to currency there? Even Russia has done things like this. So, you know, it doesn't really matter how much money you have in a regime like that if there's nothing to buy. And the people who people have lots and lots of money, they're not going to be touched no matter what. And that's true of just about any country. Okay, let's see. Mike writes in to show us a story about the weather with a funny quote in it. "I've been dreading this day," said Kim Brust, shoveling the sidewalk in front of his Minneapolis home before sunrise on Wednesday. "I was starting to enjoy the global warming." Yes, yes, yes. Every time it snows someplace, someone says global warming is a myth. And that prompted Mart from Estonia to write us. "Not that the climate gate makes too much sense, but still, it was a little disappointing to listen to your demagogic argumentation on the show. I've never been called demagogic before, ever, by anybody, any place. Thank you. Thank you for that. You ridiculed the idea that there could be any evil plot behind the global warming whistleblowing. I doubt you would deny the fact that there is, in fact, an entire industry behind the global warming hype, green marketing, Kyoto Protocol-induced greenhouse gas market, green energy, etc. The players of this industry are indeed interested in overpronouncing the threats of global warming. Are there intense evil? In some cases, probably yes. It's claimed, for instance, that the ecological footprint of manufacturing a wind turbine is larger than benefit from the energy that it produces over its life cycle." I'd like to see a citation on that exactly, because that would that wouldn't make a whole lot of sense, would it? Ecological footprint of manufacturing a wind turbine larger than the benefit from the energy it produces over its entire life cycle. I mean, it sounds nice to say that, but show me the evidence. Now, if you show me the evidence, show the world the evidence. That's not what was being discussed. This means that green marketing, indeed, subsidies to the green energy are causing actual environmental damage. Well, that's a straw man argument because we have yet to prove that this statement is true at all. Or consider the extra money that manufacturers, marketers, and vendors extract from consumers falsely naming their products green. There are plenty of such cases. Okay, you know what? That's fraud. That's fraud. That's something that's got nothing to do with people saying that global warming exists and that climate change is a real problem. And that's what we were talking about. People who read other people's email and say, oh, there's the smoking gun saying that that this simply is not possible. I mean, it boggles my imagination. I was watching an episode, because I just started watching these over again. I got the DVD set of Futurama, and I was watching the first couple of episodes. And in the first couple of episodes, this show came out in 1999, one of the jokes was that people were referring to global warming as one of those big forces, something that wasn't true. And it was funny back in 1999, because in 1999, everybody knew global warming was real. So for somebody to call that a lie, a hoax, it was something you weren't expecting. So the thing is, when you look at these emails, and you read something you don't like, and you use that to basically disprove all that has been proven over decades of scientific research, you're kind of not really doing the research. You're kind of not really giving the subject as much attention as it deserves. Keep in mind, this has been gone through by scientists and by all kinds of experts over the past few decades. It's not like this has just been conjured up in the last couple of weeks, which is how long those emails have been around. At worst, those emails prove that some scientists weren't being completely forthright with their research, and that's something that definitely should be looked into. But to say that the entire premise is fraudulent is incredibly simplistic. All right. Anyway, I'm sorry. I really took a detour from your letter. By the way, is anybody out there? 631-632-9872. Only have a couple of minutes. Remember, we're not taking phone calls again until fourth week of January. If then. Yeah. Anyway, finish this letter from Mart over in Estonia. "Life is not that simple. There's some truth in the claims of those who argue against human-induced global warming as well." Well, I think it's the height of simplicity to basically dismiss an entire study, an entire conclusion based on decades of scientific research, based on the words of a few and no real evidence. That is pretty simplistic. So yeah, look into whatever fraud it does exist. There's certainly fraud in everything. There is fraud. People looking to make a quick buck, people lying about certain things, research that's flawed. But you cannot say any more than you can say that the theory of gravity is false, that this long-studied subject does not have conclusions that are valid. All right. Should I take a phone call? See who's out there. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hello.
Oh, hi. How you doing?
Got to talk on the air?
You're talking on the air right now.
Beautiful. Well, I'll just say one thing. We don't need to do any more research. All you got to do is walk outside. It's insane.
Okay, I don't really understand what happened there. You know, here's the problem. The problem is, I couldn't make out. I had to censor him because I couldn't make out what he said, and it might have been something nasty. Couldn't make it out. I wanted to see if the red button worked. But that's the problem with cell phones. That's the problem with cell phones. You can't understand what people are saying. Even when people say something nasty, you're not really sure. Okay, you know what? Since we have idiots out there, apparently, we need a minimum number of calls. We're going to take any calls so that I have somebody to fall back on. I went against my instincts. I took the one call that was ringing. Well, let's see at least two come in. 631-632-9872. You only have a couple minutes. Listen to another listener viewpoint, somebody who wrote into us, otw@2600.com. Hey, Manuel, I'm just wondering if you'd be interested in talking about something that I, as an outsider, find curious about politics in the States. Are moderate Republicans hiding? Yeah, I'm interested in discussing politics generally, and I like to hear different perspectives. But the moderates of the Republican side appear to be swamped by what must be a lunatic fringe with mantras such as, Obama hates America. He hates America. Death panels. They're creating death camps. Yeah, a lot of these same people are anti-vaxxers. That is, they believe Big Pharma is giving kids autism, etc., despite overwhelming scientific evidence to the contrary. Well, you know, the scientists, you can't trust scientists. Trust Rush Limbaugh before you trust a scientist, especially when talking about science. Right. When I raise the issue of what these vaccinations were for and stopped, I get replies like, oh, polio was completely overblown anyway. Yeah. It's a cold day in Minnesota. Well, clearly global warming is a hoax. There's an undercurrent of racism, and there's a distinct undercurrent of it wouldn't be a bad thing if the president was killed. I regard this as strange in a country which is so fervently patriotic and where the flag is regarded as sacrosanct. I refuse to believe that such views are reflective of roughly 50% of the U.S. populace. So where are the moderates? In your opinion, has the Republican Party been hijacked by extremists? Or are these people I've mentioned just extremely loud? Thanks for the great show. Dave from Ireland. Thank you, Dave. And great question. Yes, the moderates, I think they're scared. I think they don't want to speak up and be condemned by what you call the extremists, the loudmouths, the people that basically hijack the discussion, because that is what happens. That's what happens on all the forums. That's what happens in the public meetings. That's what happens on TV. You have the people that know how to get the sound bites, know how to get the attention, know how to say something that's extremely objectionable and will make people look at them. And the more sensible people are remaining silent. Well, folks, we have an opportunity to change things. And whether you're on the right or on the left, it's something that would be a good change for everybody. Less pollution, you know, healthcare, high-speed rail, whatever. And I know a lot of people out there from the right and the left, because I talk to both of them, are in favor of these things. All right, let's take another phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Yes, hi. My name is Rose. I just thought the last caller, I don't think he was trying to be offensive. I think I think what he said was just walk outside and that'll show you, you know, global warming.
Yeah, but did you hear what he said after that?
I'm sorry?
Did you hear what he said after that?
it sounded like he was on a cell phone and he was trying. He was just trying to talk.
He hung up. You see, here's the thing. He said something, and hopefully he didn't hear it because I pressed the button.
Oh. Okay.
And then he hung up. So when people do that, when people say usually like two word sentences and then hang up,
yeah.
Usually the two words aren't nice words.
No, I hear you. He did sound. He was loud and abrupt. But anyway, his point, I hope, was. Just walk out. I mean, I just went running, and I was wearing shorts and a T-shirt in December. I love the snow, it throws me. I can't believe that there's even an argument.
Well, because it's a warm December, that in itself does not show that global warming is happening.
No,
it doesn't work that way.
The fluctuation of the weather. I mean, you know, we can get a really cold day. We can get a hot day. I mean, it's just.
You have to look at it over a period of years, decades, and see what the trends are, and if the ice at the North Pole is melting for the first time, and actually thinking about having a real Northwest Passage with water. You know, the shipping industry says, oh, that's great, but, you know, it's not a great thing for the wildlife. It's not a great thing for the planet. And that is your proof right there that, yeah, the planet is getting warmer.
No, and it drives me crazy when I'll be in an elevator with somebody and they say, oh, it's so nice out. I love this. You know, the winter is a nice winter. I like, what is with people?
Well, you just like the cold. Yeah, I love the cold.
No, but it's not even just that I like the cold. It's like, don't they see what's happening? And even if you don't have children, like, do you care about what happens to the future, to the next generation and the generation after that? I mean.
No, of course not. They just care about next week, you know. It's very short-sighted.
Yes. Well, I love your show.
Thanks. Thanks for calling.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Take care. Okay, so we got one nice call tonight, which is good. Unfortunately, it's going to have to be the last call of the night. Yeah, it's sad but true. Out of time, folks. Again, you can write to us, otw@2600.com, if you have comments or feelings or things like that. Remember, next week, the week after that, and the week after that, we will have pre-recorded programs that will be fascinating and interesting and provocative as well. And we'll be back again live in January. And, of course, on Off the Hook as well. So, have a good holiday and have a good December, and hopefully we'll have some snow and coldness. It's Emmanuel for Off the Wall. Good night.
Have you heard? It was on the news. Your child can read you like a bedtime story, like a magazine, like a has-been out to grass, like afternoon TV. Why is my life going by so fast? Peace on the dark side of the rock and roll. We can make a choice. We can